This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington. We've got a great guest tonight, Alfred Weber, who's exopolitics.com, and we're going to cover a lot of the interesting things that are happening in the news. It's amazing. The lid has just blown wide open right now in a major effort to get all this UFO information. Quickly, I wanted to go over a few things and let people know that the movie Contact has begun, as well as the Orb movie, The Veil is Lifting, are both up and on the website now. If people want to check out the two latest movies, they're very well done documentaries. And The Ultimate Soul Journey is up on the site as well, so those are available. And a lot of people are saying they're having a hard time subscribing to the eSETI newsletter, so we made it very simple. All you have to do is go into the site, scroll down where it says free newsletter, click on that, little box opens up, click on join now, put your email address in there, and then it'll send you an email back. A lot of people want us to sign them up. We can't do that according to the Yahoo spam rules. People have to sign up from their own computer. So anyway, I would suggest signing up right away because we have a lot of interesting information we're getting out on a regular basis. And we keep people updated on all the latest information concerning everything from UFOs to paranormal to earth changes to even politics, which is what we're going to get into right now. So with any further ado, I'd like to introduce Alfred Weber with exopolitics.com. Are you with us, Alfred?
Yes, I'm very happy to be here.
Great. You know, it's just amazing the work you're doing, and it was also amazing to have you up here at the conference, and hopefully we'll have you again here next summer.
Great. Well, you know, I was just looking through the various internet articles, and I came across one tonight called by Theodore D. Hall, Ph.D., called Exopolitics at Trout Lake and the Decade of Contact, and it talks about the conference at Trout Lake this past summer, and how we were able to weave in some of the exopolitics concepts there, and it talks both about your work and talks about some of the presentations that we did, and then also goes into the work of our mutual colleague, Dr. Michael Sala.
Oh, great.
So, that was something that I just came across in just a few minutes. It says, the launch site of the new approach called the Decade of Contact Project is a self-mastery sanctuary created by James Gilliland in Trout Lake, Washington. Mr. Gilliland, a contactee extraordinaire, is well on his way to becoming a household word thanks to Art Bell and a number of other radio talk show hosts. So I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, great. You know, it was an amazing event, and it got such little coverage. I mean, we had almost every speaker we had were the best of the best in their field. And you know, in the past 2 years, I mean, there was just a whole plethora of PhDs up there. And in every field, and what was amazing is that, you know, the ships did come in. Everybody got to see the ships, multiple sightings. And on our website, people can actually click, go into the website, and scroll down and say, thank you, Sam. And there's a wonderful little documentary, I don't know if you've seen it or not, where he just took photo after photo after photo of these massive motherships and other ships hovering over the mountain. And during the conference, we got so many photos coming in from people now. These ships, a lot of times you don't see them with your naked eye, but the cameras do pick the ships up. And so people were shocked when they got home and looked at their film, and they were had all kinds of ships and paranormal activity in their film, you know, or their digital cameras, and they didn't even know it was there.
Exactly. Yes. Well, now this is... this is something that with the energies of these times, and I know with the Comet Holmes coming into the solar system, which is now as large as a sun. I mean, it's a very large comet, and it's a color blue. Some are speculating that it might be the blue Kachina, which, according to the Hopi prophecy, would signify the transition between the fourth and fifth worlds.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth worlds being the fifth, being the fifth dimensional world that we are in and are transitioning to. And some people have written that this comet is not a usual comet, but actually is, and it may be, an extraterrestrial artifact, which is itself bringing a high degree of energy, which is helping elevate energies throughout our solar system, including here on Earth, and is helping our own process, which may account for partially why we're feeling all of these transitions, which have, as you were saying, made themselves known in terms of the whole UFO and extraterrestrial issue now breaching out into the mainstream, media. We can talk about, you know, all of the events that have happened over the past 6 or 7 weeks, which I'm sure that many of your listeners have been following, but they're one aspect of the exopolitical developments which have been going on.
Mm-hmm. You know, I you hear all that same old saying. You know, I'll see it when I see it on the CNN news. You know, and
yeah.
They go, as soon as I'll believe it then. You know, you hear that over and over again. Well, it's on the CNN news now. So
right.
So right.
But there's this. James, there's this great. It's like with the layers of the onion.
Yes.
As soon as you come to one layer of the onion, another layer peels back.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that we may have now what I like to call, I'm not quite sure of the word, but we use words like Trojan horse disclosure.
Yeah.
Or the UFO versus the extraterrestrial issue.
Mm-hmm.
And because, of course, what the mainstream media has done, for example, in the U.S. presidential race. Now, we've been following that, and over the last 8 weeks, nearly all of the U.S. presidential candidates, except for one, Senator Hillary Clinton, who is probably the permanent war economy's choice to be the next president of the United States, has taken a public position one way or the other on the UFO issue. But the way that they take it is as follows. They say, oh, I believe that there are UFOs, and I believe that the UFO, that the U.S. government is not saying all that it knows about UFOs, but I don't believe that extraterrestrials are visiting Earth. And that's a position that has been put forward very strongly just in recent weeks by President Jimmy Carter and by Governor Bill Richardson. We were able, Bill Richardson, of course, the governor of New Mexico, is now campaigning for the Democratic nomination for president. And he was going to give a speech at Dell Computers in Austin, Texas. Well, an ExoPolitics radio listener, that's a weekly radio program, actually, ExoPolitics Radio is on at the same time as we speak here.
Yeah.
An ExoPolitics Radio listener called me and said, I work at Dell Computers in Austin, Texas. Governor Bill Richardson's coming here. So I worked with him. We worked together to get some questions up and running for Richardson. Lo and behold, Richardson came in. The national press was there. They asked the questions. They caught it on TV. It was all over the news nationwide that Governor Bill Richardson, where Roswell is in his home state, is going to open, if he's elected president, he will open up all the UFO files. But here's the catch. he does not believe that extraterrestrials visit Earth. And that's the, almost in the identical world, words from a fellow Council on Foreign Relations member, Jimmy Carter, who says, oh, I believe that there are UFOs. In fact, I've seen one. And I believe the U.S. government is not making public what it knows, but I don't believe that, quote, spacemen visit Earth, kind of using a very denigrative vocabulary for a nuclear engineer that's been fully briefed on the subject.
Mm-hmm.
So that now the next tack that the permanent war economy is using is trying to say, oh, well, we're going to move toward disclosure, but what we're going to disclose is that we've had ARVs, alien reproduction vehicles, we've had all these advanced propulsion craft, and they're really ours, and we have a space navy,
mm-hmm.
and we're now going to go out into the solar system and conquer the solar system according to the Bush space doctrine, which is that nobody else can go up into space except the U.S. and those to whom the U.S. gives permission. Well, and they say, and extraterrestrials don't exist. So now they're taking the ships, which you and I have both seen at Trout Lake, Washington,
mm-hmm.
in other words, the ethical, ultra-dimensional extraterrestrials who are coming in and helping us achieve that fifth world or that new dimension and trying, this is the newest kind of version of the truth embargo against the extraterrestrial presence.
Have you written anything up on that or this information?
Just because I've done that, both last week's and this week's Exopolitics Radio programs, which are at www.exopoliticsradio.com, you can go there anytime and listen to the, you know, and listen to the audio archives, so people can both listen to As You Wish, what we're talking about here, mm-hmm. and they can go to Exopolitics Radio any other time during the week. This precisely is what our program this week and last week have been about, and what we're going to continue to cover and to expose in this line, this new Machiavellian bargain, which the permanent war economy seems to want to perpetuate its extraterrestrial cover-up. And yes, thank you for that push. Well, we will write an article in this regard, and I will send it to you.
Great. Yeah, I'll definitely send it out over my list because that's
great.
It's very important because I've heard about all these shenanigans, and I know the Washington news conference there. They made it very clear these were off-world, that they weren't ours, they weren't from here, and I know the experiences that we've had and other contactees around the world have experienced the extremely spiritually and technologically advanced beings, the benevolent ones. And I know they are trying to twist this, but they did actually say, no, these weren't from here. And you know, they call these alien, what are they called, ARVs, alien recovery vehicles?
ARVs, yeah.
Well, I mean, just by calling them an alien recovery vehicle, right there just blew the lid off their program. So
No, right.
Where did they get it from in the first place? You know?
Yeah. Here are some of the subtleties that are going on now. And I agree with you that some of the witnesses at the November 12th press conference in Washington, D.C., were caught on film by CNN by CNN reporters and others, and also former Governor Fife Symington said mm-hmm. that craft was extraterrestrial mm-hmm. in origin. But at the same time as that, I'm looking at the statement. There's an international declaration to the United States government, which was facilitated by the Coalition for Freedom of Information. That's the group headed up by one of the persons who organized that conference. That conference, and they say, and I'm looking at the preamble in the second paragraph here. I'm kind of putting my, you know, exopolitical lawyer's hat on.
Mm-hmm.
It says, we use the term unidentified flying objects simply to mean any airborne phenomena that cannot be identified or explained, a definition first used by the Air Force in the 1950s. We make no claim as to the nature or origin of these objects. So if you go through this international declaration, which I actually went up and I printed out, and it's signed by all 18 or so of the witnesses, which are extraordinary people,
mm-hmm.
what the declaration does and what they're signing, not what they actually said, but what they're signing is they're signing away on a statement that in a way supports the permanent war economy's view that all UFOs are actually secret U.S. military and or other black budget spacecraft.
Mm-hmm.
And because they go out of their way to say we make no claim as the nature or origin of these objects. Oh, mm-hmm. that's my little guard dog here. Okay, come on outside. Yeah, there we go.
Well, some of these are 1 to 3 miles wide. I mean, we've seen
right.
just enormous craft up
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
and there's no way we have anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know, just what Governor Fife Symington saw and over 10,000 people in Phoenix, Arizona saw on the night of March 13th, 1997, it was a 2-mile-wide spacecraft
mm-hmm.
which glided silently over Phoenix, Arizona, and over most of the state. And when jet planes were sent after it out of the local Phoenix Air Force Base, it disappeared by jumping into a hyperdimension.
Mm-hmm.
Those are very, very large space platforms that are obviously of an extraterrestrial origin. But they were saying that there are at least 4 categories of UFOs, one being the extraterrestrial spacecraft, which are driven by extraterrestrials, a second being extraterrestrial spacecraft which have been given over to secret human ET liaison programs, which can be piloted by either extraterrestrials and or humans. Now, that would mean a relatively low-level extraterrestrial. For example, the specific extraterrestrial race that carried out the human extraterrestrial liaison program starting in the 1960s, recently, that were the small grays that mm-hmm. carried out both the ET liaison programs that gave time travel teleportation technology to the U.S. Air Force as a military weapon, and also carried out the abduction and genetic farming programs. Those are classically called the small grays.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be that that specific race, which has since come forward and said that the U.S. government even violated its agreements with them because that technology was intended to be transferred for the benefit of the biosphere. Then they say that there are 2 more categories of UFOs, one being the classical ARV or the alien reproduction vehicle, and that is where allegedly the black budget, which is $1.5 trillion per year, have back engineered a whole space navy of U.S. military spacecraft now. And the final category being UFOs that are entirely of human origin, and those can be either military intelligence, but also people in their garages and in their backyards are now really beginning to master, that is, human inventors of good intent are now beginning to master the zero-point energy propulsion formulas and are beginning to develop rudimentary spacecraft of their own.
Mm-hmm.
But all of these, all of that masks what you and I have witnessed at Trout Lake, which is the upper dimensional, ultra dimensional ethical extraterrestrials who are here and really, supporting our civilization's movement out of the murkiness
mm-hmm.
of what I just described, which is how the permanent war economy has been trying to appropriate this advanced technology for its product, which is war, rather than enlightenment, which is what we're all here for.
Now, did you ever hear the testimony from James, I think it was Casabolt, about the underground facilities in England?
I may have missed it. I've followed many of the underground. I followed much of the underground research. But tell me about that.
Well, you can go on the internet. I think I sent it out over my list. I'm sure I did. But this guy came forward at some conference, and they brought him up. And actually, what he said was he said that there's parts of the NSA and the alphabet agencies that are just fed up with the nonsense. And there's some really good people in there, and then there's some dark people in there as well. And they're kind of doing an in-house fighting, but aspects of it have gotten so dark and so, there's just so much deception. And I can even go further with that they're just fed up with it. And so they're bringing key people out that were some of the children being experimented on in these deep underground facilities. And they're letting them go ahead and talk and spill the beans on all the things that are going on there. It's like a carryover of some of the German experimentation and some that was done in Japan as well. And they, grabbed these scientists, brought them over, and let them continue their work. And it's some very hideous work that they're doing. And they're combining human genetics and animal genetics and trying to make
right.
these super warriors and increase their remote viewing and remote, but where you can actually influence people or do things to people
right.
from a distance.
Right.
And like little psychic warriors. But,
exactly.
He said that they just torture these kids and split their consciousness and even kill some of them. And it's very, very ugly what goes down, at the deep levels of these facilities. And so a lot of these people are coming forward, and they're saying that there's just some very, very dark, corrupt humans that are aligned with some very, very dark ETs that are part of the gray race and some kind of a reptilian race that
right.
that are involved in these very deep level bases. And these guys are just spilling the whole beans on the whole operation and all the biological terror that they're creating down there and actually bringing it up to the surface and toying with people up here on the surface as well.
Yeah. And so that sounds like that sounds very much like what is happening now, that all of this dark recesses that have been trying to control and to implant a permanent war economy here are being exposed and are being moved off planet or
mm-hmm.
into other dimensions because their time as controllers here is now coming to an end.
Yeah.
I guess we were talking about earlier today, just yesterday from a political point of view, one of the prime political pillars of the U.S. Bush war administration, and that is the Australian government of John Howard,
mm-hmm.
where he had been in power for 12 years, a prime supporter of the war on terror. The people of Australia voted out his party that had been in power for 12 years. I believe that it seems as though Harrod himself, who had held a seat in the House of Commons in Australia, in the Parliament, for 33 years, lost his seat. And the incoming prime ministers, who's from the Labour Party, which would be like the Progressive Democrats here.
Mm-hmm.
He is pledged to all of the environmental standards, to the Kyoto Treaty, and is going to pull out Australia's troops from Iraq. So we have these sudden change of forces, sudden change of rules. The lights are changing very, very quickly, and it's going to be interesting to see this coming Tuesday in Annapolis, Maryland, of great irony, in the U.S. Naval Academy, which is a war academy. The Bush administration has convened a Mideast Peace Conference, mm-hmm. where they've invited over 40 nations, the Palestinians and the Israelis, the entire, all of the Arab nations are coming, and they have requested Syria, for example, will only attend if the issue of the occupied Golan Heights is put on there. So the Arabs are coming in and saying, we want to go back at least to the 1967 war boundaries. So this was designed by the Bush administration, George W. Bush and Richard B. Cheney and the Israelis, to kind of formalize the land grab through the wall of separation, through the 838 military checkpoints that the Palestinians have to go through just to get to their jobs or just to buy mm-hmm. food or just to get out of, you know, where they are on a daily basis, to the over 133 settlements of the Israelis in Palestinian territory. So it's going to be interesting to see, with these new energies coming in, how that's going to start playing, where they may have convened this peace conference to try and entrap the Palestinians into a very fragmented, walled-in reality, but
yeah.
we'll see whether these new energies can really get a dynamic going here now that major allies like John Harrod are beginning to fall.
Yeah, that would be awesome. You know, speaking about our illustrious leaders there, Mr. Bush and Cheney, looks like Mr. Cheney's in a little hot water with this impeachment movement with Denis Kucinich. Could you talk a little bit about what's happening with that?
Yes, yes, and it's very ironic, and I think really cosmic timing that Denis Kucinich, who both you and I know is a person who's very conscious of the extraterrestrial presence at a personal level. I had the privilege of hosting him up here in Canada back in 2002, where we both spoke at the same conference, and we spent the whole day talking about the ET presence. So he's
mm-hmm.
he's been fully briefed, and then it turns out, which most everybody knows now, but just to frame it again for people who might not know, that Shirley MacLaine, who is the godmother of Denis Kucinich's daughter, Denis had a UFO encounter at Shirley MacLaine's house in Graham, Washington, a number of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that fact became known about a month ago when Shirley MacLaine published it in a book, and that went national when Tim Russert put it on the national agenda in a U.S. presidential debate, which then made all of the other candidates show their hands. And
uh-huh.
So well, the timing that was very interesting is that Kucinich had drafted and had been planning to introduce a bill, rather to take his bill to impeach Richard B. Cheney for high crimes and misdemeanors, including bringing the U.S. into an illegal and genocidal war, the war in Iraq, under false pretenses, which are mm-hmm. which is legally a sustainable ground for impeachment. And he was moving toward exercising what's called high constitutional privilege, where he would bring it to directly to the floor of the House for a vote, which any congressman can do on specific issues like impeachment, which have to do with kind of the life or death of a president or a vice president. And Kucinich chose, we actually had been working with members of Dennis's campaign, both giving them information and coaching them on the extraterrestrial issue, but working with them on the impeachment issue also. And just 2 days after the debate, which was on a Sunday, I think it was Sunday, October 30th, Kucinich chose that Tuesday or Wednesday to bring his resolution to the floor of the House, well, for a vote, thereby challenging the Democratic administration who had been blocking it. And it was very interesting because when he first brought it to the floor, it appeared as though the Democrats, through their leadership, were voting to block it and to kill the bill. But then the Republicans started voting for the impeachment in order to embarrass the Democrats. So it became like parliamentary, you know, fun and games.
Yeah.
The result was that is now in the House Judiciary Committee, John Conyers just held a meeting in which he said this is the single most sensitive political issue in the United States at this time, because the polls show that over 50% of the U.S. people support impeachment. At the same time, the Congress is controlled both at the Democratic and at the Republican level in terms of the control position by agents of the permanent war economy. It just came out in the last several days that Nancy Pelosi, who they've been trying to sell as an Italian-American, she is really the descendant of an Argentinian Zionist family. And she's married to a very wealthy Zionist supporter, real estate person in California. So you can see that there may be the AIPAC influences, the Israel lobby, in her becoming the first woman speaker, and that she may in fact be tied in with the Israel lobby, which forced the Iraq war and forced the United States to fight the Iraq war as a proxy war on behalf of Israel. So that's why we're not getting impeachment, because Nancy Pelosi is actually a Zionist agent from a political control point of view, and this is something that has just come to the fore over the last several days. Last night, I was called at about 5:30 p.m. Pacific time by the by Press TV, which is the national television network of Iran, and asked to go on Iranian national television. We went down to CTV here in Vancouver, which is, you know, one of the major television studios down in Vancouver, and they had a satellite television link that came in, And we were on the air in the Middle East talking about the Mideast Peace Conference. And if one goes back to the history of Zionism, which there have been just documents released from the Bodleian Library in Oxford, a report showing how from 1919 to 1941, the Zionism set up a secret war. Their intent was to depopulate Palestine and to export all the Palestinians to Iraq and to take over Palestine. And they came in, and even against the wishes of the Jewish people. At that time, the Jewish people wanted to vote to have an open land there, sharing between Palestinians and Jews with no special Israeli state. Well, that has been, and even President Franklin Delano Roosevelt made that report public and showed how the Zionists had carried out a campaign of deception from 1994. Well, now we're all living with those consequences, and there's some indications that this is what relates to what you were just talking about, to these small, narrow bands of dark ETs who may be remnant leftovers from the Galactic Civil War that we apparently had in this quadrant of the galaxy, you know, maybe 200,000 or 300,000 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's kind of looking
all of these exopolitical issues that have been like latent, and you know, we've been going through this fog, are now really surfacing and becoming transparent. And what's great is that we can find ourselves now talking about these issues at all strata, because suddenly there's a transparency. It's like the walls are falling away.
Mm-hmm. It does seem that, you know, I've been told on an inner level, we talked a little bit about that earlier, that there is this force or this frequency that's moving through the unified field, and it's bringing everything right up to the surface and making everything very transparent. And all the things that they used to hide, you know, and get away with right now are just coming right up in everybody's faces, and they're seeing it very clearly, you know, for what it is. I'm going back to Nancy Pelosi. From what I understand is that she said, if I get 10,000 written letters, I will go up for impeachment, you know, from my people, you know, in San Francisco there. And the thing is that they won't accept snail mail anymore because of the anthrax scare and everything else. So by just saying that, you know, she pulled the very beginning, what she's saying is that, you know, yeah, write all the letters you want. They're just going to go in the trash. We're not even going to look at them, and we're going to go on with our agenda. But luckily, I guess some other people accepted the letters and hand-delivered them. Or I think she got 10,000 letters to go ahead with the impeachment. So, I mean, so she went on record saying, if I get 10,000 letters,
right,
saying to go ahead with it, and she got them in like the next night or some next day, some outrageous time period, a very small time period passed.
Right, right. And now what people are doing is organizing an impeachment counter drive to deliver those letters initially to the peace activist, a woman peace activist whose son was killed in Iraq, Cindy Sheehan,
mm-hmm,
who's running against Nancy Pelosi in Pelosi's district for the November 2008 election. So the idea now to confront Pelosi as much as possible, because they think that's just another fraudulent, you know, campaign promise, is,
yeah,
to deliver the 10,000 letters initially to Cindy Sheehan, and then Cindy Sheehan will bring the letters directly to Pelosi. But it would appear that that's not a good faith offer, that she is acting out the modus operandi of an operative of the International Zionist Network, which is to defeat democracy and to use sophistry and double talk to do that. And that part of her condition for speaker, I mean, who told her that impeachment is off the table and why?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the U.S. people, voters voted in November of 2006, on November 7th, 2006, to stop the war in Iraq, and there was a very high component of impeachment. So who told her? By what right does she say that impeachment is off the table?
Hmm. And I wonder who's whispering in her ear.
Yeah, yeah. this also goes back to what we were talking about, James, earlier at the sanctuary this summer, and that is the way that the UFO sightings really have begun to tie in with the political changes and with the changes of consciousness. And so we have the famous Chicago O'Hare sighting of November 7, 2006, in which some say 20, others say 60-foot craft came down on United Airlines gate C-17 at Chicago O'Hare Airport. It was seen by the ground crew, by the pilots, by the control tower. It was rated the FAA, reported throughout all of the media. Well, that was U.S. midterm election day, and that was the day that the neocons lost control of the Senate and lost control of the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we fast forward to March 13th, Saturday, March 10th, 2007, there was another sighting. This was in downtown Cleveland, Ohio. There was a peace rally going on right below the Key building, and an extraterrestrial craft came down. It was photographed through a cell phone camera over the peace rally and in the Key building and Cleveland, Ohio's Dennis Kucinich's home district. And, you know, peace
yeah.
is key. And here we have, and then Kucinich, in the course of 3 days, he says, yes, I've seen UFOs publicly, you know, over national television in a debate, and puts the subject matter firmly on the table.
Oh yeah.
And number two, 3 days later, he brings the impeachment to the floor of the House, which is now in the Judiciary Committee. So from an exopolitics point of view, we've been saying, using a methodology called the context communication theory of extraterrestrial communications, that the ETs have really been signaling that our participation in the body politic and really claiming our right as citizens and, you know, enforcing our rights for democracy is really part of our gaining cosmic citizenship on the planet and really, you know, sweeping out this old kind of, you know, the old controllers.
Exactly. No, that's
yeah.
exactly what I was told by these more benevolent ETs. The Pleiadians were telling me that they said that, you know, there is a God, there is a frequency and a force that's pushing in on this planet. And they said it's not the little old man with the beard that everybody's, you know, a lot of people are told, but it's far beyond that. And they were saying that they're just done. They said you know, the higher dimensional beings are just done with the tyranny here. They said the earth itself is finished. It's done with it as well. And she said, and the people are done. When you talk to the masses, you know, in one-on-one, they're just done with all the nonsense and all the garbage and all the manufactured lack and all the other things going on here and the destruction of the environment. And so, you know, you really think about it, everybody's pretty much done with it, and the only people who are left are this small little group of families, you might say, that are think they're calling the shots, or they were calling the shots, but, you know, that is, seems to be coming to a close here with all the exposure. So it seems like there is this massive plan that is so immense and so big, and it's, like I'm saying, it's moving through every aspect of life, and it's just putting an end to all the nonsense and all the tyranny that's been going on.
Yes, and not a moment too soon. I was told, for example, that if the People's Republic of China adopts a one-car-per-family policy, so every family in China will now have a car, which is what, you know, the Western democracies has kind of had that as a standard vision now for about 50, 60 years or more. That all the coastal cities in the world will be flooded because of the CO2 emissions from those automobiles alone. So it's clear that we cannot go forward in a linear fashion with our current civilization. And we can't go forward with a permanent war economy. There is no way that you can fix, saying, oh, well, we'll have, you know, we'll have new energy machines, but we're going to continue to deny humanity its cosmic citizenship. And we're going to continue to have 150 wars a year, and we're going to continue to have, you know, millions of children die, and war and disease. That can't go on anymore. So we're now, I mean, how exactly that's going to happen, but I believe that, that the world now and the world 10 years from now will look radically different in a positive way.
You know, it's definitely heading that direction. I've been getting a lot of information about that, and you know, I think these earth changes that are coming up that are definitely on the books are going to be as severe as our resistance to flowing with these new energies coming in, and things could heal very quickly and very fast, and I think we're definitely going to move through some changes, that's no doubt whatsoever. But if we got our consciousness in order and, you know, we stop with the aggression and the shooting at these higher dimensional beings and everything, they would come in and assist us in this quantum leap and evolution that we're undergoing. So it's a matter of, you know, are we going to earn the assistance? Are we going to rise to the occasion? Or are we going to just let Earth give us the major spanking we deserve as a civilization?
Yeah. Well, now, what we're starting to do is to move into creating the structures and the organizations of a new world that is beginning to move into the creation of new energy, beginning to move into the creation of a new economy that is not built around the old monetary system. I mean, right now, the world monetary system is controlled by the City of London, which is a 677 quasi-independent jurisdiction at the heart of London, ruled by a committee of 12 banks, headed by the Bank of England, and mediated by the House of Rothschild. And the net worth of the House of Rothschild, this is documented statistically, is around $100 trillion. That banking entity is like a giant bacteria on the human race, which is sucking up all of our energy, and we're caught inside its trap of debt, interest, money. The money, which should be a public utility, money should not belong to anyone or to any one private entity. It should be a public utility, like free water. Money should be free, you know, that's how money works. And yet, they manufactured the agents of the City of London through Paul Warburg, and manufactured the bank panic of 1907 in order to set up the Federal Reserve, which is a private bank, so that all the U.S. dollars are actually private property. That the whole world economy has been run on private property that can be manipulated. It's somebody's monopoly money that they own. And so we're instantly and constantly in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our life energy. That's our life energy here. So we're involved in building now new currencies, new governmental forms, and building that new structure that will move forward in the fifth dimension to release the human spirit and release, you know, release human creativity to be a truly enlightened age. And you know, just to let this dross pass as an aberration that we went through, you know, from the 19th to the beginning of the 21st century. I mean, look at what happened in the 20th century when this, you know, when this kind of elite conspiracy really got to its apex. We had a century filled with wars. John D. Rockefeller, what World War One represented to him is he made $1 trillion on World War One, and that was a horrific war. People suffered in World War One. The whole world suffered, and the bottom line was that it was engineered by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, and John D. Rockefeller made $1 trillion in dollars of those times, mm-hmm. in 1914 dollars.
Jeez. That's just like unbelievable.
Yeah, that's what it was all about, and it was repeated again in World War II, and now they're trying to do it again in World War III. Thank God that we have all of these cosmic forces that have now come together around the Earth. We have the Holmes Comet coming in. Mm-hmm. We have the convergence of all of these forces that are just elevating the Earth. And do not want this to be repeated again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was told. You know, they made it very clear. They said, you know, the original intent for Earth was to be an Eden, where people would live in harmony with each other and the planet and nature, and they would evolve to their highest potential. And then it got hijacked by these evil spirits or souls or whatever you want to call these guys that just, all they care about, you know, they lust for money and power and wealth, and that is it. They don't care about how they go about getting it, or and it's insatiable, this lust that they have. And these guys right now are responsible for so much, you know, pain and suffering and sorrow. A lot of the diseases, everything. These guys actually manufacture these, you know, because they're the, you know, you've got the oil industry, the pharmaceutical industry, and the war industry, basically the top three running things, and this is just insane. It's gotten to an insane level of infiltration, you might say, to the point where, you know, it's going to have to take something really serious to take this down. I mean, we need an infusion of light that is so powerful that it's going to have to be the huge antibiotic to this this disease. I guess it's infected almost everyone to some degree or another.
Right. Well, it seems like that infusion of light is now starting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And with the fall of John Howard yesterday, you know, this is a wind that is coming in. And I would say that we just have to keep up the pressure at all levels. At the upper dimensional level, which you're working at there, you know, at Trout Lake and at other portals,
mm-hmm.
To allow these upper dimensional energies to come in and really anchor that light here,
mm-hmm.
and then work within the political system to expose the Nancy Pelosi's is just another Zionist agent. That's why she says it's off the table. It's because they gave her orders. And that's how she's existed. And that's how she got to be the first woman speaker, not because she's, you know, a superior politician. It's because she's a Zionist agent in a Congress that's ruled by the Israeli lobby. So, you know, it's about as simple as that.
It is. It's gotten pretty sad. But I think the work that you're doing and the work that we're doing here and all the other exopolitics and especially you know, even Alex Jones and these other guys that are bringing out, you know, all these things and the loose change people, everything, all these people, it just seems like this massive army of truth seekers or truth spreaders, you might say, are just coming forward. And if we could all just get together and drop the little minor differences and, you know, and get out of the competition and power struggles and combine our forces, you know, this we could turn this planet around and change the destiny.
Exactly, James. And I indeed have faith, and which is now growing into a conviction and to a commitment that's happening,
mm-hmm.
and that is an inevitability, and that in fact it already has happened.
Oh, I definitely, you know, I think it's a destiny. It's a destiny no man can stop, and we are going to return to Eden and learn to live in harmony with each other and the planet, and that's it. I mean, it's going to go that direction. There's no way to stop it. It's just the process from here to there. You know, how are we going to do that transition? That's about the only choice we make. Are we going to do it the hard way, or, you know, do it kicking and screaming, you know, or are we just going to go with the flow and simplify and step out of the way and let the old program collapse?
Exactly. Yep.
So, yeah, we're running up to the end of the hour here. I'm going to have to sign off pretty quick. I wanted to give you your website again. It's exopolitics.com. And they can go and click on your archives and listen to all the things that we've been talking about tonight, probably a lot more in depth. Right. And is there anything else you want to say in closing?
No, I'm just very grateful, James, to be here, and I fully support your work and fully support the forum and the platform that you provide for all of us here, and the platform that you provide for the portal for the dimensional energies to come through, and that my faith and my belief is that as a society, as our society becomes more light filled, well that portal will just itself open up and open up and open up.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. We'll have you back on soon, and have a great evening. We're signing off now. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. Have a good evening, and thank you, Alfred, and keep up the great work.